The rise of Lyme disease cases in Pennsylvania has been alarming. There were 10,000 last year, more than in any other state. The illness can cause flu-like symptoms and a rash in its early stages, and if left untreated, more serious health problems like arthritis and nervous system disorders. The best way to avoid Lyme disease is to avoid infected ticks, which carry the bacteria that causes it. So I arranged to meet an outdoor enthusiast who knows all about this.
I'm Jill Henning. I'm an associate professor of biology at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown.
We met up at the head of one of the many trails here on this rural campus for a hike and to talk about preventing tick bites while we're enjoying the great outdoors. I'm wearing muddy hiking boots, and Henning is sporting a backpack that belongs to her son.
Well, it's an Avengers backpack, but it's actually treated with permethrin, and I carry all of the things that I use when I go hiking in there.
What is permethrin?
It's based off of the chrysanthemum flower. It doesn't necessarily repel ticks. It doesn't keep them from getting on you. But once they do get on you, it creates something that we scientists like to call hot foot syndrome. So if you think about a human touching a stove, you have that reflex to retract. Ticks will get on the clothing with permethrin and then climb so far and release themselves so they'll fall off of you.
So we're heading out. What would be like the first thing you would do to sort of prepare yourself?
There's lots of products available to treat your clothing with. I use permethrin-based products, although you can use essential oils, eucalyptus, lemongrass, thyme, rosemary, lavender. There's DEET, which I don't recommend, only because it's a known carcinogen. So what I do is I treat my clothing, do that outside, spray them in a ventilated area, and then hang them to dry. And they'll last for a few washes, so you don't have to continually treat. When my son was younger, I used a bandana, and I would tie it around him because you can't treat his clothing. Anyone under 3 isn't a good idea to use that kind of stuff. I usually always wear long pants, even if it's warm.
You got long socks on.
I do, all the way up to my knees, just in case they get on. The ticks will climb the sock, and it'll take a little while to get to your skin.
So we're here at the trailhead. What happens here?
Well, here, if you're using essential oil-based, if you're using something that you made yourself, there's a good chance that you should apply it on a more regular basis. So for example, right before you leave, maybe an hour or so into it. Some people say 4 hours, but I don't like to run that risk. I actually, when I hike, interestingly, use a lavender-based deodorant because ticks are likely to go to the armpits, the belly button, in between your legs, behind your knees. And so it's just an added layer of protection.
Shall we go?
Sure. So while you're hiking, it's important to know where you're at, and it's best to walk in the center of the trail because ticks like to attach themselves to long grasses or in the brushy areas. And so they use the top 2 legs of their 8 legs to sense for carbon dioxide or their next victim, so to speak. And they'll use those to attach to you as you walk by.
What if you're not walking on a trail, you have to cross over a meadow like the one that's over here?
So there are vegetation, it's an invasive species called Japanese barberry that has been known to attract ticks. The other thing that you need to worry about in a field like this would be the white-footed deer mouse, which is actually where ticks acquire the Lyme pathogen from. And so their bedding is in places like this. So basically the best thing to do is just go through, make sure that you had your repellents on, and then check yourself on the other side.
Talk a little bit about the types of ticks we're talking about.
The tick we're referring to mostly is the black-legged tick, or its scientific name is Ixodes scapularis. It's also known as the deer tick. It's a little black at the top, and then below that is brown. And so that's the kind of tick that you're looking at. And then it has black legs. The ecology of this particular pathogen is that the deer ticks will lay their eggs on the deer and they fall off, and then they'll get into the white-footed deer mouse bedding areas. The larval stages and the nymphal stages will feed on the white-footed deer mouse, and that's usually where they acquire the bacteria. So what then happens is that tick will then quest or move to a deer as an adult, and that's where they'll complete their life cycle. They can see a couple deer trails. If you look right there, you can see where they've walked through. They tend to walk in single file lines. So I would avoid that path. If I were to be hiking here, I would just walk actually in the higher, taller grass and avoid places where the deer actually went through.
Tell me a little bit about your research. I know that you looked at the prevalence of Lyme disease and ticks in Pennsylvania.
Some students from Pitt Johnstown and I did a study on six counties in the southwestern region of the Game Commission region here in Pennsylvania, and we found that one in three ticks carry the Lyme pathogen. We are collecting ticks again to redo that study, but what we're seeing, it's holding out. Ticks are attracted to carbon dioxide, so the more that you hike, the more that you're going to respire and your heart rate will get up, and so the more CO2 you're releasing, the better target you are.
I'm respirating more than you are. So it's early June now. What part of the cycle are they in, and when are they most likely to jump on you?
Now, between April and September, the warmer months of the year are typically when you see individuals getting bitten by ticks, although ticks can bite you at any time of the year. Because people are out in more force in the warmer months, that's when they're more likely to be exposed to the tick and therefore then getting bitten. But the life cycle of the tick, they can bite you at the nymphal stage or in the adult stage. And so the very small nymphs are the ones that are typically difficult to see. So in my Avengers backpack, I carry a magnifying glass so that you can see if it's a smaller tick and you're not sure, is that a mole? Is that a tick? What should I do? Is that really something that's embedded in my skin, or is it just an insect that's crawling on me? And we just check them out. It's just a little handheld magnifying glass.
So what do you think are some of the misconceptions that the public has about ticks and Lyme disease?
So I do a lot of community outreach with various different organizations. And one of the questions that I get often that surprises me is that they ask if spiders carry Lyme disease. And I think that that misconception is because ticks are arachnids. And when people hear the word arachnid, they tend to think spider. And spiders are not vectors. They do not transmit Lyme disease. So that's one of the bigger misconceptions. Another one that is the case is that most people know that if they're bitten by a tick, they get the characteristic bullseye rash, which is referred to as an erythema migrans in its medical terminology. But actually, only 70% of individuals who are bitten by a tick, and that tick happens to transmit the Lyme pathogen, will show that particular bullseye rash. So it's better to think about the symptoms that the body produces other than that bullseye rash. For example, individuals will have like a flu-like or cold illness. You'll have fever, chills, a little bit of tiredness, muscle pain, and soreness. And some people will mistake that as a summer cold. But if you've been outside in somewhere that you think is a high prevalence area for ticks, you should consider that Lyme disease could be something that's happening.
So we're at the end of our hike, and we're getting into our car, or we're going to go home. What should we do now?
That's a great question. A lot of people forget about that part. So you should shower relatively soon after you're done hiking. And if you can't do that, say, for example, you're camping, you should check yourself for ticks. If you're alone, carry a mirror, because ticks like to go into the places that we always can't see very well with ourselves. If you do find a tick that's embedded, don't panic. Never touch the abdomen. That is a surefire way to get the tick to regurgitate. So you want to grasp it with your tweezers. There are tick removal tools that sort of have a bend associated with the tip, and you slide it under the tick as it's embedded into you and twist it, and that twisting will then pop it out. So if you're unsure about how to pull the tick out, I would suggest spending the $3 and buying the tick removal tool. Yes, ticks are a problem, but I don't think you should let that bother you to the point where you don't go outside. There are lots of things that you can do to prevent getting Lyme disease, and there are lots of ways that even if you do get bitten by a tick, that you can easily treat yourself by seeing your primary care physician. So go outside. Just do it smart.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks.
Jill Henning is an associate professor of biology at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown. Head to our website for a link to her work and more on ticks. That's at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple, and I need to stock up on some lavender essential oil for my next hike.